What is up, everybody? Welcome back. So, if you're here, you saw the post on Instagram that we're doing something different. So, the full-length title of this, I guess, would be like the TWC Stay Hated Podcast Mixtapes Volume 1, you know, Barbell Ambition. But like that's so long, so we'll just call it mixtapes for now. I'm with my boy Brandon Bergen. What's up, dude?
What's happening, my man? Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, dude, I'm stoked. Like, so give people like the inside scoop. Like, basically the last podcast I put out was like a test run.
Yeah.
and Brandon was unbeknownst to Brandon.
Unbeknownst to myself.
I was like, I'm just gonna see how this goes, but we have such a good relationship, and we kind of like bounce so many ideas off each other. Like, why not just do a fucking podcast?
Yeah, man, I'm stoked about it. Really excited about this idea.
So basically, we're going to be talking about being an entrepreneur, lifting weights, and everything that comes with that. I guess like anybody who hasn't listened to the podcast that was dropped, I think it was last week or the week before, go check that out. That's got like Brandon's background, you know, his lifting, where, you know, Barbell Bills kind of came from, originated from, and you can kind of get his backstory. But this, we're just going to fucking jam. We've got like a segment we're going to introduce partway through the show and hopefully be able to do this like twice a month where we can just rock out. So, dude, like what's been going on in the Barbell Bills world? Like, what have you had go on in the past couple weeks? Because you've seemed like you've been fucking, I'm seeing you getting tagged and shit. You're like doing work for all these days. Like, I'm stoked. I didn't even know, we talk pretty regular and I didn't know you were that busy with that.
Yeah, man. It's like, it's only been, I mean, what we say 4 or 5 weeks since we talked last, you know, on recording, but, it's been kind of, I won't say blowing up. It's been, you know, starting to scale up a little bit, starting to get people kind of reaching out, and, it just, like I said, it just kind of organically did this thing where it, you know, some people started to hear about it. Some people started to see the brand around a little bit, and, it just kind of started to accelerate from there. So like I said, nothing crazy at this point, but we're definitely moving and taking orders now through 27 Stitches Embroidery, which will be my actual service outside of Barbell Bills, which I'm very, very excited about. But yeah, so just getting all of those things together and, you know, trying to stay in the gym and keep the family happy and, you know, stay in tune with all of that. You know what I'm saying? So full plate. Yeah, you're all the time.
Juggling fucking chainsaws, dude.
Yeah,
like, that's just sort of like how it goes. It's so weird, man. Like, the when you're crazy busy, but it's your own shit, it's different. Like, it's like, it's kind of like helping someone move. Like, they'll look at us and be like, well, you like lifting stuff up. Like, you should help us move. It's like, no, motherfucker. Like, I like lifting stuff on my own time.
That's like my absolute favorite. Like, it's, I don't even know what to call it. It's just like a paradox that people that lift weights have to deal with. And it's like, I used to deal with it in when I was a plumber all the time. Like, out on the job site, bunch of pipe shows up off the truck. Like, oh, Bergen lifts weights. Go get him. It's like, Mike, it's still heavy for me. Like, I don't want to do it any more than the next guy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like, there's always that assumption. Big guy wants to go lift. It's like, not always, man.
No. Yeah. I want to lift the shit that's going to help me lift bigger weights, like in my sport. Like, people, and I feel the same way about like entrepreneurship. Like, it's like if I was working for, if I had a boss, like if I had a legitimate boss and they told me like, you've got to do X, Y, Z, it's like a bum out. Like, you're getting told you have to do it. But it's like, if it's your own shit and you're super busy, like, it's easier to swallow a little bit. Like,
if
you're working 80 hours a week and fucking punching the clock 80 hours a week, like, that shit sucks. But if you're working 80 hours a week and it's like you get to see your art or your work being tossed around all over the place and people like, you know, appreciating it, like,
yeah,
it makes it a little bit easier. Have you found like what do you think you're putting in right now for hours weekly, like just on like between Barbell Bills and just 27 stitches?
Yeah, 27 stitches. Man, I mean, without trying to sound ignorant and whatever, it's there. I couldn't really, just because it's never not like, if I'm cooking, I'm thinking about it. If I'm washing dishes, I'm thinking about it. You know what I mean? You're just kind of always on, which is a, you know, a blessing and a curse. I'm sure, you know, most people that are opened a business or started a business or, you know, have even attempted it, you know, in any capacity can understand that to some extent anyways. But I couldn't really put hours on it, but exactly what you're saying, it's like what I was just telling my wife, it's like instant gratification almost. Whereas like mm-hmm. most of the time with like business and like investing in yourself and lifting, it's like that delayed gratification, right? Is better because it's like the mm-hmm. more you invest and all of that. But with the business, it's like every little thing I do and every little challenge that I win, it's progress. So it's like, it's addicting almost, you know what I mean? It's like you start to get that little bit of peace every day and it's like, all right, cool. So if I can keep this rolling, what's next week look like? What's next, you know, month look like? That kind of thing. So I've really leaned into that lately and that's what, so with, again, without trying to sound crazy or ignorant or anything, it's like, it is work, but I'm really enjoying it. You know what I mean? I'd rather be doing this than any other hobby right now. So, yeah.
It's cool when like work becomes, like it just is like, you're not saying like, oh fuck, I got to do this. Oh fuck. I got it. And I remember, what are you like 2 years into Barbell Bills? 2.5 years?
I believe it like from inception would be like July or August of 2021. Yeah. So about a year and a half.
Yeah. So like, I remember, you know, when I was 2 years in, a year and a half into Trigger Warning, it was like, we were doing, I don't know, I probably had 20 clients maybe.
Right. Which is insane.
Yeah. I probably had like 20 clients, like 15, 20 clients. If I lost one, I was stressed. Like, I was like, how am I going to pay my fucking rent? I was doing probably like, if we were ordering shirts that weren't a pre-order, I was probably doing like 20 shirt orders. Maybe like, you know, the minimum I was doing, whatever it was,
which
was 28 shirts.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting. Like, it was, I didn't have, you know, like a commercial thing with a distributor anywhere. Like, it was like, I had to be like, okay, I guess I'm getting 32 shirts or whatever.
Yeah, whatever they got.
And I it's like exciting. Like you said, it is addicting and you get like, especially since you can sit there and you can look at your shit, like everything, you know, you can look at your Big Cartel, you can look at your, you know, your PayPal, your, you know, where the money's coming in, wherever you're doing it. And you can look and you can be like, all right, sick.
Yeah.
Like, last month I did this. This month I've got this lined up. If I do a good job with this person. And the cool thing about what you're doing is it's like you're front to back. Like you're like, you do the Instagram, you do the, you post the videos, you post the pictures, you get the clients, you take the invoice, you make the product, you ship the product.
For sure.
Part of that I didn't have to deal with. I didn't make, like, obviously I was doing the coaching and the programming stuff, but when it comes to the physical,
like the act or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Like I wasn't screen printing anything. We actually got offered to buy a press, well, it was like the middle of COVID, like the middle of 2020. And we decided not to do it because the reason was something that you've dealt with that you pushed through was I talked to my buddy Kurt and I was like, you know, should we do this? I know you did this for a long time. And he's like, man, there's such a fucking learning curve to doing a good job.
Yes.
That it's difficult to like, you're gonna spend a year learning how to do a good job
for sure,
and then it's like, are you gonna do a good enough job for? Are you gonna do it for other people? Are you gonna just do it for you? And I was like, all right, fuck this. I'm not dealing with this.
Yes.
Like, I'll pay somebody else to do it. You're the guy.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that. Yeah, and nothing against like screen printing or anything like that. I don't know much about it honestly to even make a serious assessment. But
sure.
In my research with embroidery and all that, that's why I leaned into this. Was just based purely on that volume that you have to do with screen printing. You know what I mean? In the same way, like all of the different dyes and things you got to learn. I'm already learning a lot with like threads and needles and stuff like that. I was like, I didn't have capacity for both. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
pick it's sick, one or though, the like, other.
So like where I kind of had more of my hand in like the creative, like artistic side of things,
mm-hmm.
it seems like you kind of have more in like the physical making of like stuff. Are you interested in like, I don't know, because I think about like, oh man, it'd be really cool to like eventually have a spot where I could have my own screen press. You know, where I could have, and I could do that myself. I could have someone do it in house. And we're working on getting Val to the point where she can design t-shirts for me and stuff. Yeah, she's sick. Been like really working on like the art things. As far as the art component of things, like, are you like, I don't even know. Are you talented in that way? Mm. Are you interested in that?
No, I would not consider myself, a creative, like naturally creative person. I feel like it's something like I almost have to work at. I can be creative, but I feel like I have to, I'm like one of those guys that has to almost be like the perfect scenario. I'm kind of an overthinker and, sure. And I can't, you know, a lot of times that kind of hinders me in that way. But so like I did the Barbell Bills logo, right? And that was like kind of purely to get things kind of going. I love what I did. But
did you wait, you drew that, like you did that yourself?
Yeah, just put it together on like a digital website or whatever, like one of those okay. programs. And it was kind of purely just to, like I said, get something going. And the intent is still to work with someone that does that professionally to have, you know, different logos made and some different things. So look out for that in the future. But no, that I don't, I kind of know like my limits on certain things. And I'm definitely I'm definitely not ignorant in thinking that like I can't learn and get a little bit better at certain things, but I just know where I'm at right now. And I would prefer to put that trust into somebody else and use a resource and yeah. you know what I'm saying? And then kind of lean into yeah. that when it's time or like when it feels right. But yeah, I mean, so just like you said, with being front to back, I take a ton of pride in that, but I also see the, you know, advantages, disadvantages, pros and cons of it. And that's kind of one of them. It's like, I keep wanting to put out different things, but I've done a few different like attempts at a new logo, and it's just nothing that it's just like, yeah, that's it. And I just, you know, kind of had to come to the realization that it's just better, you know, to reach out sometimes than.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're smart to not put out something that's like, you're not totally into, like just because you're like, want to put something different out or you're like trying to work on it. You're like, having it not be good enough and saying like, no, like,
yes,
yeah. you know what I mean? Like that's, it's hard to not put stuff out like as soon as you have it. Cause it feels good.
Yes.
And people, yeah. your friends are going to say that's cool and whatever. But it's funny, like you're saying like, you know, kind of, you might not be great at something or you might have a weakness in a certain area and you pay someone else to do it and you kind of double down on what you're good at, which like, for me, like what I'm good at is like coming up with the idea,
yeah.
like, and having like an outline for it and then giving it to someone like, okay, now you make this look cooler than I can.
Gotcha. Yeah,
type
yeah.
of thing. And like, that's a skill that I have. Like, I think one of your skills is like, you're obviously like into fashion, into the way stuff looks. Like you have a good eye for like, this color will look good with this color mm-hmm. or whatever. But like with training, it's the opposite of that. Right. So like, with business, it's like double down on what you're good at. Like,
oh,
you
need yeah, to be yeah.
You need to be competent at stuff. Like, you need to be competent at, like, you know, customer relations. You need to be competent at, like, you know, figuring out, like problem solving, inventory, like, all of these things. You need to be okay at all of them. But the shit that you're not great at, fucking offload on somebody who is yep. great at it.
Yep.
And the shit that you're good at, you fucking double down on that. It's yep. like, what am I good at? I'm pretty good at talking into a camera.
Yeah.
So I do that often on the Trigger Warning Instagram because for some reason, I don't know why, people fucking like listening to me talk.
Right.
So I've doubled down on that. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Whereas as like in training, it's like when you see the motherfucker who's really good at incline bench and that's all he wants to do.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's the opposite with most of this stuff. It runs right parallel, but like, it seems like with strengths versus weaknesses, it's like,
yeah,
you, it's the complete opposite with training and entrepreneurism. Cause like you have to go after the shit you suck at in training.
For sure. I mean, with business,
you'll suck forever.
Yeah. yeah. Like with business, I mean, I see it as something that like, I know that I'm never going to be the guy that you can't, you know, the CEO, the accountant, the salesman, the, you know, the guy that does it can't do all of it once you scale up to whatever size, right. you know what I'm saying? So, I'm always realistic with that. But yeah, so your point with the training, it's like, it's kind of interesting and, you know, funny to point out because there's always the, you know, anybody that's been in the gym for any length of time knows that they're, or they've seen somebody that's in there always doing the one thing they're good at. It's always shrugs or rack pulls or, you know, something ridiculous like that. Right. So, yeah, that's hilarious. Cause everyone points out like, okay, look at this guy never doing anything other than what, you know, he can excel at. And as a power lifter, that is the quickest way to get, ate up quick. You know what I'm saying?
You know what's interesting is nobody's ever really good at reverse hypers.
Yeah.
No one's ever like, you know what my thing is, bro? I just really like doing reverse hypers.
You know, I'm
like,
awesome at them.
The one motherfucker that I think really enjoyed them was Lou, and that's about it. Like, he's the only dude, like, maybe Lou and Laura are like the only two people who are like, I love reverse
just
hypers.
Love,
everybody else is like, I guess we're gonna fucking do this. Yeah, that's hilarious. It's dude, I've gotten sucked into that before with training where I like get, I'm like, oh man, like JM press, like, oh yeah, I'm good at this. Like the weights keep going up. I'm going to keep riding this. And like,
yeah,
it's
for sure.
Okay. To a point, right? Like it's one of those nuanced things where it's like, if it's working, keep doing it. But if you get too good at it, it's probably not like if your JM press has gone up, I always tell this story. When I went to Westside, I could do like a plate for maybe like sets of eight with like a football bar for jam pressing to your neck, you know?
Yep.
And within like, you know, 3 or 4 months there, I did 275 for a set of five.
Right.
To my neck. Yeah. Right. But my bench went from 525 to 530. So like, okay, this is too big of a jump here. Like I put on a plate and a quarter extra here and I only put a chip onto my bench.
Yep.
Like, this is a waste of my fucking time. Yeah. I'm obviously good at this. Let me find something else that I could do that maybe I'm bad at. But like, you fall into those. Like I was on, dude, for a little bit earlier this year, I was on dips.
Oh yeah. Interesting.
Like, oh dude, I was on them. Back to the basics. Yeah. I was like, dude, like how did I get my bench strong in the first place? Right. Sure. 'Cause I've been like battling this stupid pec thing. And I'm like, how did I get strong? I'm like, oh, I used to do dips quite a bit. Let me try them. So I did them, got a crazy fucking pump. Like I was like, okay, these are cool. Like the guys in the group seemed to like them. And then one day we did sets of 10, add a chain around your neck every set, right? Okay. So we got up to like four chains. And then I'm like, all right, take all the chains off. Let's do an AMRAP. Let's just see how many we can do. And guys are getting like 25, right. 20, you know that.
Right.
I think I did like 64 or something like that. And I was like, all right, like – I'm good at dips. Like, fuck this. Like, this is fun, but it's not going to benefit me.
Yeah, for sure.
What's the shit that you're good at in training that I'm going to make you brag? What's the shit that you're good at training that you don't do anymore? 'Cause it's like, I'm too good.
I was going to say, actually, I experienced it a lot when I was, right after I got injured and I wasn't really able to like squat as heavy and I wasn't really training with anybody. Just had the baby, like had a lot going on, just kind of starting the business. And so, my training, like I was always in the gym, but it just wasn't as efficient. So I would always like, I'm trying to think what, if there was any like accessories, but I almost always would do some type of like conventional block pull. Or something like that, just because it's like, again, not trying to sound like a dick, but like I'm pretty good at that stuff,
yeah.
Especially for like my, you know, my size. But I always would lean into that stuff because it looked good. It was like, felt like then I had something to like go back and look at and make myself feel good. But then, you know, the bar hits the floor and my briefs go on and it just feels like ass. And it's like, oh my God, this is horrible. Like I'm like deleting videos because it looks and feels like shit. But honestly, one of the things that changed that for me was I started going back to like a regular gym a couple days a week. And you just like get around people that you can tell are in there all the time. So you just don't want to look like a scrub, you know? And so I just kind of leaned back into that. And it's like, it's kind of tightened everything back up for me. With that stuff. And so like, as far as like what I do that I'm not good at is a lot of like deficit pulls, just something I've never been great at. So I'll go in and do, like even after like my speed work, a lot of times I'll do like two or three plates, throw like 3-inch deficit, something like that. And just do a few sets of three and just nice controlled, you know, movements. I try to lean into that. And then, my back, for whatever reason, it was kind of always a strength of mine. And then I don't know, it just kind of went by the wayside. I quit like doing a lot of like heavy rows and that kind of stuff. And, so I leaned back into like a lot of like low rows and, I really like hammer strength machines right now. That's something that I feel like even with a plate, it just like beats my ass sometimes. So I've been doing a lot of like hammer strength, lateral pull downs and stuff like that.
Oh, dude, those machines are sick sometimes, though. Like, we kind of, like, get away from them in powerlifting. Yeah,
yep.
Because they might, like, seem corny or something, but mm-hmm. it's like, nah, dude, tons of dudes got fucking huge and strong using those, like, secondary movements. Dude, it's funny you say, like, conventional block pull is what you go to, because that's, like, for me, that's one of those ones that I go to when I'm, like, I don't want to put briefs on.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not going to pull anything cool because I feel like shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck it. And I'll do that. And it's like, for me, that's one of the ones that I can like hide behind. Because it's like, oh, I'll pull six plates and change. It'll hurt my back. And then I'll be done deadlifting for the day and I can move on.
5 pound PR and get out. Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm getting, if I'm fucking lucky.
Right, right.
But yeah, that's like, as far as training is concerned, you had like that back injury, like upper back injury. Today, it was just a bad strain, right? Like you didn't break anything. I don't remember.
No, they didn't break it. Like I said, it was a brachial plexus injury is what they called it. So it was like I pinched nerves in my neck, and that's what caused like all the pain down my like into my hips and my hands and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's still like swelled up and all of that. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing it affected was just my squat. So that was something that I couldn't really train like a heavy back squat for probably 5 or 6 months before I put anything like over like 600 pounds back on my back. Okay. Probably more like anything over like 5 probably, actually, now that I think about that.
Was it painful or scary?
Both, honestly. Yeah. It was like I couldn't set my back. I kind of screwed myself a little bit, but because I took some time off to let everything heal, but I wasn't doing everything I needed to do as far as like strengthening that area, like still by doing some type of movements, I just kind of quit. And, yep. So that's just made it hard to like kind of build things back. So that's made it a little bit slower, getting back into it. But,
yeah, that's that shit. That's like kind of that particular thing. I've seen that in powerlifting a million times. It was one of those things that, I remember Lou said to me, I thought it was fucking crazy at the time. He was like, if you hurt your pec, the first thing you do is you start benching again because it puts blood in the area. And I'm like, man, you're fucking nuts.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then, and because at the time, the science and everything and what people were saying were like, stay away from it, leave it alone. Like, don't touch it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, kind of Seth Albersworth has kind of come on the scene and really been pushing. I'm sure there are other guys been pushing that, like reclaim the range of motion shit.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, it's like, oh, like your knee hurts when it goes over your toe. Okay. Well, let's just try and go over a little bit. Let's go over a little bit more, a little bit more until you build that up. It's hard though when you're hurt, cause it's like that, that moment of, oh shit, in training where you're like, did I just re-hurt this? Did I just go backwards?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Motherfucker. Like that, like you're like, oh, I feel pretty good. Feel pretty good. Boom. Sharp pain. And you're like, you son of a bitch.
Exactly. Like, well, I'm just like so nervous about it because it happened in the best case scenario that it could have when I actually got hurt, because I'm standing there on the platform with, you know, five spotters, all the professional, you know, people around. So that happened the best. What scares me the most now is I still have like some type of like, I don't know if it's scar tissue or cartilage or something up there that just kind of moves around. And I'm always nervous that if it happens again, it's going to be like in training and it's like just my pops that's, you know, pulling hooks and I got chains set. You know what I mean? That's going to be like a whole different story. But like I was saying in the last podcast, it like, it's definitely on my mind, but the want to squat heavy again, you know, far outweighs it. So yeah, that's just kind of what keeps me pushing. You know what I mean? Just like, all right, well, just be honest with myself when it sucks. I keep it where it needs to be. And if it feels like I can push, I will.
I love the kid I trained with, this kid, Connor. He says to me, I forget what we were talking about. Like my fucking back was killing me. Like my low back was gives me problems sometimes. Like one of those things that when you like rack the weight, it hurts. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I was telling him about, I'm like, you know, I just got to keep going. Like, you know, we're however many weeks out from WPO. I got to just, you know, and he just looks at me and goes, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Quit? what are you going to do? Not do it?
Yeah.
Of course you're going to fucking do it. And it's, I feel like you're in that sort of position right now where it's like, well, what are you going to do? Not lift weights?
Well, like, yeah, man. It's like,
all this for nothing. Like, what the fuck?
I've had to look at it a couple of times and just like be honest with myself, just like with the way my knees feel sometimes and my low back, my elbows and everything. But the idea of like being like hanging everything up right now, it's like, I can't even begin to wrap my head around that. So I know I'm not done. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm, it's like slowly coming back. I won't say that I'm back in the heaviest, you know, session or the heaviest like phase of training I've ever been, but like the hunger's coming back a little bit as far as like getting back on the platform, put my suit on more often, not being scared to put my shirt on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's the fear of injury stuff is crazy, man. Like I had a, did I tell you about that? The 1065 I took in training.
I think recently. So. Yeah, yeah. Recently.
Yeah. So I so when I hurt my knee before, yeah, remember that shit?
Like I do.
Before you came up and wrapped my knees. This is such a cool fucking story. I'm gonna start with that one. That's a cool one. You were supposed to come up and wrap my knees at Westside.
West
and we got kicked out. And I'm like, hey man, like if you don't want to like, again, you're like, fuck that. Like I'm still gonna come up. So you came and wrapped my knees and. At Doghouse, and that ended up being like you doing that basically got you invited to train with Hoff.
Yeah,
because you came up and just like you just came up and helped.
Well,
didn't
was,
talk too much and like
it was like a it was a Friday obviously that I was going to meet you guys up there, and you called me on like Wednesday. It was like, hey, we're not going to be at Westside anymore, and I was like, all right. So do you still want me to come? And yeah, so I mean, we still did it. Or whatever, but yeah, it was kind of wild.
That whole so yeah so that that squat is fucking scary. I don't think I've ever posted that one from that night, but my knee was all fucked up still.
Yeah.
I had heard it before, and what had happened, the injury itself was like someone was wrapping my knee, and it was actually Joe Jester. He was wrapping my knee, and instead of pulling like up and then laying across, he was just pulling across. And this dude's been in the game for fucking ever. I'm sure he's wrapped a million fucking knees. I know he's wrapped Dave's knees before. He knows what he's doing. For whatever reason, the way he did it, like put my knee in like a weird position.
Yeah.
And somehow I strained that MCL, and then I had the nerve injury off of it. My leg shrunk and all that. I've talked about that a million times. My left leg, I lost an inch.
Yeah, that was
an inch total. Fucking 8 weeks, dude.
I was going to say, we could like watch it happening. It was
crazy. Yeah. Like, the videos from warmups were fucking are insane. It looks like I have an alien like for a left leg, but yeah. So now, you know, I've built myself back up. I've squatted 11 in a meet since then, but it's still, you know, taking those big weights, you still think about it. And so last week or the week before, I was working up to like a second attempt ish. And so I got to take, you know, 10:25, 10:30, and then go to 10:65 ish.
Right.
And so on the 10:30, like one of the, you know, obviously I used the gripper, the ends are grippers, and like I think part of it like rolled folded like right over my patellar tendon in my left leg, which is the one I got hurt on. And I had just, dude, I had just rewatched West Side versus the World, oddly enough, like earlier in the week. And Lou, you know, Lou says like, you know, he's like, I felt my knee slide at 7:30.
Yeah.
I took 7. And, you know, and so I take the 10:30 and I felt something in my knee a little bit on the way up. Nothing, it didn't hurt, but it was like, I felt like something kind of move. And I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
Was that the wrap?
Right.
Like, what was that? And so I got to take 10:65 now, and I got my guys there, and I'm sitting there and I'm just like, I didn't say anything to anyone at the time, but I was like, I don't want to take this fucking weight. Like, I'm scared of this weight.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Right now, this weight is fucking with me. And I feel, you know, like I'm like sitting there and I was like delaying.
Right.
And, you know, I'm getting my Val asked me if I was okay afterwards because she's like, I could see it like in your face, like something was going on. So they're putting my straps on and I could feel like in emotions, like, all right, dude, like you have to do this. And what I told myself was, if you don't take this weight right now, you're never going to take this weight again.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you just let it fucking beat you.
Yeah.
And if you let fear control you, you don't get to be the fucking guy who is the leader of this training group.
Yeah, man. Like, we did talk about that. Yeah.
You know what I
yeah,
mean? Like
for
you
sure.
don't get to, dude. Like it's fucking over. And so I took, it's just like, dude, like you're going to take this and it's either going to blow your fucking shit off or you're going to squat it. But either way, you're taking it.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I took it, you know, I took it and blew it up. But then
say, that one was like nice. Yeah, like, that was a really nice squat. Yeah.
I smashed it and it was all good. But that fear of injury is something that people who haven't had one don't really understand that fear. And people who say, like, I don't care, I'm not scared, are full of shit.
Yeah, 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 for sure. It's like, yeah, I would definitely agree like, with that.
You're scared, dude. Like, if you've been in a plane crash and survived it, when you get on a plane again, you're fucking scared. Like, sorry. Like,
definitely.
No matter how tough you are, like, what do you do for, like for me, I go to, like, I used to go to anger to get myself through that stuff. Yeah. Now I go to, like, pretty strong, like, an emotional state that I didn't really think I had. Yeah. Where do you go to with that as far as, like, training and trying to get past that?
Anger's never worked for me. I've tried it a couple times to kind of, like, be mad at it, be, like, aggressive towards it. And it just doesn't have, like, it doesn't, like, work for me. It almost works better for me when I'm in, like, as weird as it sounds, like, when I'm in harmony with everything going on. When I'm just, like, real chill, real, like, just really, like, relaxed. And then right before like the last like couple minutes right before, I usually will turn on like, you know, some type of music or whatever that like will put me in that headspace that I need to be. And it becomes very much like, again, I don't talk about this stuff very often, so it might sound like kind of corny or whatever, but I become a little bit like extra a little bit right before I lift, because it's like, that's where I have to go. It's like,
dude, that's sick. Like, what do you mean? Speak on that. Like,
it's like, I just become extra in the point where it's like, I don't give a fuck who you are. Like, what's, it's like, I'm coming through a fucking, you know, I just have to put myself in like that headspace, coming out of that calm. And it works really well for me. It always has, because it's like, once you squat it, like in the whole time, like I'm typically like envisioning myself, finishing the squat and how like sick that's going to be to come off the platform and being like, yo, I fucking squatted that. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what I'm envisioning the whole time. But I can't like people say, like, you blow your wad too early. Like, I have to like wait to do that. You know what I mean? I have to wait till the last couple of minutes to really get there. But outside of that, man, it's like very chill. Like, I just kind of have to be like, you know, vibing, like laughing, like, you know, very relaxed. That's much more like where I'm at with it.
Yeah. I think that, Val pointed it out to me after fucking forget what meet I had. So one of the WPO meets that didn't go great, which fucking picked, you know, fucking A.
Yeah.
None of them have gone great for me really, except for the last one. But, you know, she said, she's like, man, like when you're in training, it's like dick and fart jokes. Like, you goof, you take the training seriously, but in between you're like relaxed.
Yeah.
And, she kind of like pointed that out to me. She's like, you know, when you total 2,500, for the first time, like, we were goofing around the whole fucking day. Like, it was, you know, Michael was there with the camera, Hoff's there with Kovach, and, you know, me and Brian Hill were still fucking boys at the time. And we're fucking, you know, like, goofing, and it was, you know, we were going back and forth. He had a fucking big total that day.
Yeah,
he
did.
But, you know, we go back and forth, and it was fun, and I kind of realized that. And so I tried to find that balance. It's hard, you know, like I said this on a podcast with Corey, like, yo, it's easy to be a psycho all the time.
Yeah.
It's hard to be a psycho only when it matters.
Yeah. I can understand that to an extent, for sure.
So it's like, it's easy to just be like, I always say it's like when you get in a fight with your girl and you say, and it's something, and you're like, fine, I'll just never do that again. And it's like, that's lazy as fuck.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's way easy to just say, I'll never, fuck it, I'll, fine, I'll never, whatever. Yeah. It's like, no, it's the way to do it is like, I'll only do this when it's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's hard with the, like, the dialed in stuff. So you go to more to ego, and sometimes I do that too, like, I don't even remember doing it, but Josh, one of my other training partners, told me I was walking up to I ended up fucking bombing out of in the squat, but I was walking up to my third attempt to take this squat last summer, And I said, I like verbally said, like, who's the baddest motherfucker here?
Yeah,
the baddest motherfucker here. Like, you know, and like, I'm like, yeah, boy. Like, and that, you know, I do, I have had to go to that before where it's like, yeah, I am like that first year at WPO, like, I was down 0-for-2 on squats and Matt Maynooth looked at me and he was like, hey, just remember you're the best squatter in here. And like, he didn't mean it in a literal sense.
Right. Right. For sure.
Fucking obviously. Right, you know what I'm saying? Like he squatted 1107 at that meet. Like,
it's just the confidence, right?
As soon as he said it, I was like, fuck yeah, I am. I'm sick. Like,
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I think that stuff is really cool too. Like the coming back from an injury and figuring out how to address the bar, is something I think figuring out how to address the bar is one of those things that people, it's not something that people pay attention to until they have fucked it up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's a whole different, like, it really is like, without that whole cliche, you know, thing, but it's so much different when you've had something that's physically stopped you from doing, you know, your consistent training in like that capacity. You know what I mean? It really is like, it's not as easy to just jump back in. You know what I mean? Especially because like I have a completely different set of like training partners, training days now. You know what I mean? Things changed. Like life doesn't stop, you know, as corny as that sounds, and lifting keeps going too. So.
Fucking right, dude.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, a little learning curve there, but that piece of it too. And I'll just, you know, be honest about it. I think that's what builds the character of the lifter that you want in your crew is the one that like trains by himself or, you know, reaching out to people, trying to find handoffs and do it and, you know, making it happen regardless. And that's there's a lot of people out there that are like, well, I just couldn't make this piece of it happen. So the rest of it didn't. And that's just not how I get down.
Yeah, dude. And like, for real, like, it's like, I actually said, I was like screaming earlier today on the phone with one of my guys, like not at him about something that went on. And I was just like, yo, like I've literally kicked people out of my group until nobody was left except for me, Val, and Josh. And I will fucking do it again.
Right.
Like, like, and I'll make it happen with that. Like we've taken fucking suicide benches with no side spotters because we had to and nobody was there. And like, I like that shit, you really figure out, like, sometimes, to be honest with you, sometimes I look at the shit that some of my guys do that I coach and I'm like, you did what by yourself? You like lifting more than I do. Like,
I was gonna say, you had, dude, trigger warning for whatever reason, has some straight psychos, dude. Like some of the coolest people I've ever met, but I have met some wild ass dudes.
Yeah, like, oh, I took a full gear squat by myself, out of the rogue hook, up to a third attempt. It's like, you're fucking, what do you mean? Like, that's fucking crazy.
Dude, I love the dog in you, but yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, let's reevaluate some of this.
I look at that shit sometimes and I like honestly have the thought, I'm like, I think like if those videos are not in front of me, I'll tell somebody like, nobody likes powerlifting as much as me.
Right.
And then I see those videos and I'm like, that dude definitely likes powerlifting. Like for
that's
sure.
That's so funny.
All right, well, yo, let's sequence into the new, like, into the segment we're gonna do. Yeah. So we're doing a thing called Under the Bill.
Yep.
And what it's gonna be is Brandon is going to speak on a topic by himself. We're gonna put that in here so everyone can hear it, we'll listen to it, and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna chat about it.
Yep.
Before we play it, is there anything you wanna say to anybody? You wanna like give a little bit of like a context to it, or you want to just let it ride?
I just give a little bit of context. It's just kind of something to be open-minded about. It's just to give you a little bit of further thought into a certain topic, and it just might be something that you relate to. This kind of same way was born out of me kind of wanting to, you know, looking for some things to relate to kind of at the, you know, level I'm at right now. And I think this could be a good contributor to that. So looking forward to it.
Hell yeah. Cool. All right. Well, you guys check this segment out and we'll be right back.
What's going on, everybody? And welcome to the first installment of the Under the Bill segment of the TWC Stay Hated podcast. As you know, my name is Brandon Berg and I'm the guy behind Barbell Bills. Really excited to be doing this with Anthony. Just want to introduce this segment.
as it's going to be something we do. We don't really have a pattern for how often we're going to do it yet, but it's something that we're kind of looking to get into. It's just going to be exploring a topic a little bit deeper than we might in a normal conversation, or just kind of touch on a topic that, you know, like kind of young entrepreneurs and guys that are interested in business and lifting and the kind of relation back and forth there, that may want to talk about something that might be relative. So anything you guys want to hear about, you know, specifically, obviously just, you know, throw a comment, DM, something like that. But just as a quick example, it's just going to be, like I said, a short segment about things such as, like, imposter syndrome is one that Anthony and I have talked about kind of in depth. It's, you know, such as just feeling like, is all this really working out, or all of the, you know, all the hard work, is it starting to pay off? And him and I are at kind of different levels in that, so I think there will be some pretty good, you know, conversation, some good back and forth and good experience to talk about. Other things such as just, you know, loneliness, doing business with friends, doing business with family, doing business as a family man, you know, trying to find that work-life balance. Just some different things that are relative to guys that are out there just trying to, you know, better themselves every day, and consistent, you know, progress is what we're looking to promote. So outside of that, just wanted to say thank you guys for tuning in. And like I said, the next couple segments will have some good topics, and I think between Anthony and I, we'll have some good you know, experience to weigh in on, and I really look forward to it. So thanks again.
All right, cool. There's Under the Bill, segment one. I love it. I love how you're willing to, like, open up. And I know this one was just kind of an overview, but I'm excited to get more into in-depth ones and kind of let people see, like, what's going on with you and what's going on as, like, as a new entrepreneur. You kind of, like, briefly spoke on – well, actually, let's talk about recording those segments by yourself. Yeah. You're not a big social media guy. Like, speak on that for people who, like, you know.
For sure. I mean, it's 100% relevant to anybody out there that, you know, is wanting to go into business for themselves. Social media is obviously huge. I'm not going to speak on how big it is. You obviously know that. But I'm not, like, it's not a natural thing for me to, like, post my personal stuff out there. I keep a lot of my stuff, a lot of my, like, you know, personal things about me close to the chest, as always have. But recording those segments is kind of an effort to, like I said, kind of provide, you know, something for guys to possibly relate to. And then also, same way, just, you know, possibly, you know, create connections with anybody that might be feeling the same way. And also, you know, same way, just the conversation starters. But yeah, it's not something that, like I said, comes natural to me. But it's become a necessity, so I treat it more so like, if I want, you know, to succeed in this business, this is just another avenue. And until I can afford to, like we were talking about earlier, it's not something I love doing / am great at. Until I can afford to kick that to someone else, I'm going to have to embrace it. You know what I mean? And so it'll help anyways to just kind of understand, you know, the basics of it and the basics of, you know, putting out content and learning how to talk to myself while I'm driving, which... You ask my wife, I talk, you know, plenty, but most people that know me wouldn't probably describe me as super talkative. So,
no, you're quiet. You're a quiet dude. Like it takes a minute to get it out of you. Yeah. I remember, first of all, like, respect, like I like the idea of having something here to kind of push you in that direction. I've been telling you need to be more on social media for fucking 2 years.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, always ride me, and I appreciate it.
So I like that. I like that you're willing to do that. I remember when I first started doing the Mental Mondays, mm-hmm. I did it for a while. I don't know if you remember, I was doing them like outside. Like,
yeah, I do.
In front of my apartment.
Damn, man. Throwback.
Yeah, bro. I forget how many. I have 110 Mental Monday extendeds just on the Patreon, and I had been doing them for like 2 years
before. I was going,
like,
to say, geez, oh, please.
There's a lot. So, but yeah, when I first started doing it, I like had to be out there. Val couldn't come outside. I had to be alone. It took me 3 or 4 tries every time. I had to fucking, you know.
Yeah.
It was tough. And now it's like I've filmed Mental Monday while Val's sitting in the passenger seat of my truck chilling. I've done it when we were driving. I've done it while I'm driving. Like
repetition, right?
You know, it's the same as anything else, right? Yeah. It's like how long did it take you to be able to squat a plate perfect every time you did it? It took you a lot of times. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, like, for sure.
And so I think the reps will help you, you know, feel more comfortable with that. And dude, like, I think having someone who is in the early stages of building a business but isn't a super young person,
yeah,
is you know what yeah, I'm saying? Like, sure. You're not 20 years old trying to blow up on TikTok.
Yeah, for
which
sure.
I think there's value in that for those people.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you have like a tangible thing, and like bringing that to the forefront, I think is yeah. awesome. How many tries did you go at it to get that one?
That one wasn't too bad, but it was still probably, I bet you I recorded maybe 6 or 7, and
yeah.
it was kind of a different rendition each time. And then it's just like figuring out like the small vibrations that it's picking up in my truck. You know what I mean? And you're like, what is going on here?
All the little things, dude.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like probably, like I said, 6 or 7 tries. But I've tried things in the past that I, like, no exaggeration, have probably given 15, something like that, mm-hmm. before I'm finally like, all right, I need to go take a walk or do something. This shit's pissing me off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just can't get it together. But that is definitely something with content that I'm starting to, you know, understand a little bit more. Like I think I texted you earlier, just like, props to you for all the stuff you put out there. It's, I'm understanding much more now, like, the consistency is not easy to keep that stuff up.
Yeah. But, well, I think we talked about it like just in a phone call, but it's like, I've seen what people see is the finished product, right?
Yeah.
So like they see, you know, whatever, they see the cool edited videos or the stuff you put on YouTube that was sick. Like, you know, they might see me on the Table Talk, or they might see the Mental Monday stuff, or they might see this and they're like, wow, that's, you know, I want to do that. I want to do content. I want to do this. And they think it's might be easy. Mm. And I used to get offended by that. I'd be like, motherfucker, it's not easy. But the thing is, the reason they think it's easy is because when you're doing it consistently, it looks easy.
Yeah. Yes.
And so they're missing the, like, me throwing my phone across the fucking room because I've tried to record something 10 times or whatever. And it becomes one of those things too. I think another thing that people maybe fuck up, or eventually it fucks them up, is like, if you're, I think Kellen was the first person to say this to me, but like, if you always tell the truth, you don't need a good memory.
Yeah, for sure.
So like, if you always have the same set of principles, you're never going to say something outside of that. You don't have to worry about content you put out in the past. Like, yo, I do not stress about a single fucking thing I've said on a podcast, and I've done hundreds of podcasts.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because
it's authentic, right?
Yeah. And I think that's like the route that you obviously have. Like, your shit is very, even you look at your social media style, like how you've been doing lately,
mm-hmm.
Where it's like, post a hat, hunt day, whatever, 100 lunges. Right.
Yep.
Love that. 'Cause that is different than what my content looks like, but it speaks more to your personality.
Yes. Yeah. So that's something, actually, that's fun. So you bringing that up, one of my biggest issues is, with content, is realizing how good that content would have been had I recorded it. Or had I, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't tell you how many times where I'm like, oh, dude, that would have been sick. But what I just, like I said, it's not natural for me. I'm working on that. I'm working on, mm-hmm. you know, being a little bit more like minded that way. But yeah, it's like time lapse. That's one of my, like, the funniest things to me. Like, I always thought time lapse was this complicated kind of like, you know, all these things you had to do and like, I literally learned it while I was driving up to Columbus a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, this is slightly embarrassing. I've never used this because I was intimidated by it. And all I had to do, it was like recording any other video. So it was that kind of embarrassing. But
literally you have to slide one more time to the left.
Yeah, dude.
And hit the same red button.
And I was over here like I was 65 trying to turn my phone on, just like, yeah. You know, so, yeah.
Signing your name on a Facebook comment.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
No, dude, that's cool, man. And pushing yourself that way is definitely going to help, like, build the business and build the brand. And I think it's important for people listening, like, even – in like personal social media, right? Like, did you delete your personal page?
I can't accurately tell you that I deleted it. I think I did. I deactivated it or something, but I recently saw it pop up when I was making my 27 stitches Instagram. So it might still be out there, but I don't use it whatsoever.
Yeah. So like people who maybe don't have a business that are listening to this, they have, you know, you have social media, like, do you want your social media to do well or do you want your social media to do shitty? Like the same shit applies to your personal social media, and people can sit there and lie and say, oh, I don't care what it does. Well, you wouldn't have it if you didn't want people to see
it. Right. For sure. Yeah. So 100%. Yeah. I mean, it's like,
you know what I mean? So I think a lot of this stuff carries over to just like personal social media too, because, you know, you can, dude, there's money out there to be made.
Oh yeah, for sure. I have no hate on anybody that uses it, that, like, you know, thrives from it, anything like that. It's just not my personal thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's become like very clear though, that like when you decided to get better at it, you've gotten better at it. You know what I mean? Like your shit looks sick. What's been going on with, I know you've got like one athlete that you're kind of, are you calling it a sponsorship? Are you calling it a,
consider it a sponsorship. Josh Cleland, shout out him.
What's his Instagram?
He is at Josh_Cleland, I believe. He's on my page if you want to find him. But no, he's from out in Eastern Ohio. Super sick guy. We met very organically, just kind of reached out, got to talking, and it turns out that we're both like former moto guys growing up, and a lot of similarities. But like I said, super nice guy, family guy. He's massive. Met him up in Columbus a couple weeks ago, got a lift in, and really believe in what he's doing and the route he's going. So yeah, keep an eye out for him, and he's going to be doing a show hopefully in the next couple of years, or in the next year or so.
What's that sponsorship? Like, what was your thought process on bringing, I've never brought somebody on as like an athlete that I would put on like that. What does it look like for you? And what was the thought process?
So it's still developing. If I'm being completely honest, it doesn't have like exact parameters. It's something that him and I have been, I've been very open palm with him and where I'm at and, kind of where I'm trying to go. So I wouldn't say that we have anything necessarily inked as in like, you know, he's a, you know, the Barbell Bills athlete and gets paid by any means or anything like that. But I don't really want to put all the details out there, but the meat and potatoes of it is just kind of, we support each other in different areas of the business. And as it kind of progresses, as we progress, he will progress with us. So you'll see more things and you'll see a lot of probably one-offs and possibly like a collection from him in the future. So
cool. Are you trying to do like, you know, I remember when I was buddies with the dude who runs Norse Fitness, like he had athletes that had like, you know, discount codes and all this stuff. And is that like a route you're looking like into going down?
Ambassadorship kind of thing is not really my, it's not something I'm interested in at this time. And there's no, like I said, no hate. My personal opinion of it is I don't really care to pay someone to support my brand, if that makes sense. Sure. I'm just, like I said, Barbell Bills is a 100% authentic, like if it's not something that I would be into outside of the business, I'm not going to be into it just because it's in the business. So like I said, I'm not doing any type of ambassadorship. If you're somebody that I want to support, like I will go about doing so, and, you know, reaching out to that person in that way. But like I said, it's not really something that I want people like, hey, you know, do you want, and I've had it already. I've had people, hey, do you want me to, you know, wear your stuff and, you know, 10% off this and that. And it's like, I appreciate those offers. I appreciate what they're trying to do. But for me, for this, you know, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. That I know that like, I could probably do something with that. Mm-hmm. It's also not really something that I am interested in doing. It just seems like it can get really messy.
Yes. Yes.
And like, I'm not like, my company is not big enough to do anything that would be worth doing that. Now I look at like, you know, like, you know, I know like Amber has a couple of codes and she's got a code with, you know, Anderson Power.
For sure.
I've used that code. That's a huge
company. Yeah. I mean, I support that and stuff for sure.
It's sick. It just seems like it would be a nightmare as a business owner.
Yep. Yep.
Cause the other thing is you end up tied to someone. And if you don't know them super well, I know we talked about that, with your guy, like, you know, like we kind of spoke before you had met up with him and everything. It's like, my advice was just make sure that you fucking know what he's about.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, so like on that exact point, when that situation had presented itself and I, you know, I kind of vetted it out a little bit. I did all of my, you know, I won't say that, you know, I hit every single check, you know, check box, but I feel like I, you know, crossed my T's and dotted my I's pretty well. I, you know, called you, had multiple phone conversations with the guy, went out and met him and his wife, you know, went out to lunch, had like, you know, decent, you know, conversation and spent a good amount of time. And we pretty much taken it as it just can be whatever we want it to be kind of thing. So it's been very simple in that aspect, but it's not something that, just as you said, like I'm very, very picky about who I affiliate myself with. And, that's just not something I'm really willing to change. And if it was a situation where we went out and met and the vibe just wasn't there, I would have, you know, address it as such. So
yeah.
So it's more of like athlete support. That's actually, that just came to mind. That's kind of a term he uses. It's more of like an athlete support than like a sponsorship or an ambassadorship or anything like that. It's just somebody that I'm supporting, he's supporting the brand, and we're working together without a bunch of, you know, terms.
Yeah, that's sick, dude. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I do you have like, what do you got coming up for drops? Do you have like, I know you did the white and black hats, like the white kind of, which, with the black brim.
Just to talk about those a little bit, same way with, it's not just as simple as, you know, buying some hats. Those are some I've been wanting to put out for a really long time. I was really pumped on them and they did really well. And I just want to, you know, shout out everybody that grabbed one, everybody that visited the website. I really appreciate you guys.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, we got a couple things coming up. I'm pretty excited about and kind of talking on the, with Josh as well. We're going to kind of expand and get into, it won't be just, you know, the powerlifting hats and powerlifting everything. It's going to get into a little bit more bodybuilding. You might see like an oversized tee collection come out and some things like that. Yeah, dude, really pumped about it.
That demo has a lot better, like, finger on the pulse of like fashion.
Yeah. Well, dude, I always say it with powerlifters too. And in a lot of them anyways, it's like, powerlifters tend to show up, a lot of them, with sick shoes, sick hats, you know what I'm saying? Usually grungy t-shirts and stuff like that, but a lot of guys walk in, you know, looking fresh and clean in their own way. And bodybuilding is the same thing, just, you know, another level.
Yeah, it's kind of like, because it's like an aesthetic sport, like it's not a it's performance, but it's not a performance sport.
Right, for sure.
It's looks, right? So it's like, they want to look sick. And dude, I love that. One of the things that Trigger Warning has had an issue with is like powerlifting is not necessarily like fashion forward.
Right.
When it comes to, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like black t-shirt, white emblem, a swear on it, whatever.
Yeah.
And for me, I've never put out stuff that I didn't like. I've only put out shit that I would wear. All of the t-shirts we've put out are t-shirts that I would wear, have worn.
Yeah, for sure.
Whatever.
For sure.
But I've definitely had to stay like inside the lines of some of the stuff that maybe I want to do that not that I can't, but that just like wouldn't do as well.
Yeah, fair enough.
So we're kind of working on another avenue for that, which is sick. So people who got this far in this episode get to hear about that.
Yeah.
A little more like aggressive branding and stuff outside of Trigger Warning.
Yeah, I'm stoked on that for you guys. We've been talking about that for a while.
Yeah, man. It kind of, we, you know, I don't want to put out like super details, but yeah, we've been talking about it since like 2021, and I just wanted to wait until I was in a good spot where I could put all of my effort into it that I wanted to. Yeah. And if it flops, I'm not fucking without rent.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah, dude. For
you know
sure.
what I'm saying? Definitely. So we kind of have like, you know, got some different sort of like guerrilla marketing type ideas that we have where I'm going to kind of like intertwine it with some of the trigger warning stuff and, you know, put all that. It's like, I think that all those little things where you might not necessarily, it might seem like not a big deal, but like for me, like I know you got those stickers made, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're like putting those in boxes or whatever, but that was something that I noticed with trigger warning was when I started doing like the little extra things, right? Mm-hmm. So like as soon as I got fucking stickers and started throwing them in, people, and then you're like, then you start looking at it and you're like, okay, people are paying attention to stickers.
Yeah.
So what am I going to do? Like, okay, cool. So if next month I'm putting out a black and yellow globe t-shirt, this month when I drop the blue ones, I'm going to have stickers that are black and gold that go in there to sort of like market it without, because people don't know. Because the first thing they do when they get the sticker is they say, is this going on a t-shirt?
Yeah, dude, that's like, I actually was literally talking about that this morning. That's like one of my absolute favorite takeaways that I've taken from trigger warning. I just think that, and now I just, you know, stickers is a must. I knew it was, and these are just basic logo stickers, but that's just like very forward thinking. And I think that to me is what, that's like that's what keeps people around, is that forward thinking for the customer. Cause I'm somebody that would pay attention to something like that. You get that sticker and you're like, yo, this isn't the same thing as like what's on the t-shirt. But then when the next thing would come out, I would definitely register, you know, and be like, yo, I've seen that before. And I just think that's like giving people that sneak peek, kind of whether they ask for it or not, I think is like, there's something to that. I think that's awesome.
Dude. And like, think of it this way from like an owner's standpoint, right? So let's say, and I've done this a couple of times where I wasn't sure if I was going to put out a shirt with a certain logo. I was like, I don't know if this will hit.
Right.
I like it. I don't know if you, I get to put on stickers and put it in the bags on the way out with the other order and
trial it, huh?
If nobody posts about the sticker, well then I know. And, but if I get tagged in 10 fucking stories where people are like, oh, these stickers are sick,
then you know,
then I know there's like some interest. So it kind of gives you a way to test the waters, because all the polls and stuff that you can post and you're like, you know, would you want this or this? Like if you look at who's answering those, half of the time it's people who don't buy anything anyway.
Fair enough. Yeah.
It's not an honest, like acquisition of information.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like, it's a way to like pump your ego. If you think something's sick, like, oh, they'll say it's sick. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Fair enough. You know? Yeah.
But with the sticker thing, it gives me a little bit of leeway and like those little things. Cause I know when I got, like, I bought a pair of shorts from it's like Visionary Fitness, right? Mm-hmm. And they put out the like really high quality, the screen printing on them is kind of trash, but the shorts themselves are really nice and the cut of them is good.
Right.
And when I got them, it came with a bumper sticker, a bracelet. Like, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to use those things because it's just I'm not going to put that on my car.
No, yeah.
But you see it and you're like, okay. Like at the bottom line, like the least possible thing is that this company at least is trying to show that they give a fuck about the customer. Yep. So that makes me want to support them.
For sure.
Whether I use the sticker or not is kind of inconsequential.
Mm-hmm. No, I fully agree. I think,
go ahead.
I think there's something to it, as well with, I'm sorry. I just lost it.
You're good, bro. As far as like giving stickers to people and putting out stuff, watching, caring about customers, it's like, I can kind of roll.
Yeah. It was just the authentic piece of, like doing it because you want to do it. So like that was for me, like stickers was, it took me a minute to get them. Same way, just get, you know, everything else going on. But it's like the stickers for me were much more because like I enjoy getting a sticker and putting it, you know, wherever I stick them, computer, laptop, wherever, you know, or I mean computer, toolbox, whatever it may be. But that's something that like I try to always revert back to because I don't consider myself like a very good salesman. And when I, the reason I say that is like just like you say, you haven't put out anything you don't like. I literally hashtag wear what you like, because if you're into it, I think you should support it. If like you're into what they're about, into what they're selling, all of that, but not just because it's trendy. And mm-hmm. I think that's what I've always been able to come back to, is like when I'm kind of like, oh, should I do this, this or that? And it gets more so like what's going to sell, as opposed to I just start thinking about like, what would I want to see? What would make me stoked when I open the package? And that's like even, and this is, and I'll just let this out too. It's not, it's no secret, but like when I send out my hat boxes, I tape every corner and every seam just mm-hmm. because I don't want the product to get any type of, you know, moisture in it as much as I can possibly do that. And that's because I know that if that box was coming to me, I would literally note that. I'd be like, yo, they don't want to have to, you know, redo this. They don't want you to have to call them like, yo, my shit's messed up. None of that. So that's like, I really think if you go back to, it's the corny how you want to be treated thing, but if you go back to how you feel as a consumer and buying your product, you can't really miss. You know what I mean? Just go back to being the guy on the other end.
Dude, I got a hat this year. I won't say anything about the band, but this band, I ordered a hat and they sent it to me. It was a Yupong, like mm-hmm. a pretty standard black hat. And they sent it in a bag.
Oh, really?
So when it showed up, the structure of the front panel, it had been folded just once, but the fold goes right across the front. And it's like, I'm not going to be able to get that out.
Yeah.
Like the brim was fine. And it's like a band, like, you know, I'm not going to fucking message them and be like, what the fuck?
Right,
like
for some, sure.
But I won't buy a hat from them again.
Yeah, man, exactly. It's like, yeah, it's a tough one. It's like, yeah, that would, I don't know. I don't think I've ever had one show up in a bag. That would definitely be alarming to me. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, man. And like, I'm sure 9 times out of 10, it's fine. But that 10th one is going to have a fucking jacked up brim or like whatever. And it's like, well, this hat just became a training hat that I don't give a fuck about.
For sure. And like you said, then you're not going to buy the next one they drop. And if you're not trying to get, like repeats and like people that mm-hmm. support you, like, what are you doing it for? It's kind of weird.
Yeah. I used to stress about returns big time. I'd be like, oh fuck, I'm going to lose money on this. I'm going to this, that, cause you got to pay for them to ship it. Then you got to pay shipping, all that stuff. And then I realized, actually, Andy from North said it to me. He was like, dude, like, who cares if you end up paying for that t-shirt? If you get them what they ordered and you correct it and you do it in a timely fashion, they are going to be a repeat customer.
Yep, positive experience.
Positive experience. And it's like, A, I give a fuck that people are stoked on what they're getting. And B, like the part that no one else says, like, I want to make more money.
Yeah. So, sure. I mean, you're operating a business, right? Like,
I want to make money. So when you do that, it's like, yeah, man, I might've lost my ass on those authentic, the hoodies with the snake in the hand that we put out. I got them. And they were fucking jacked, dude. They were terrible. And I had to bring them back. And then I had to go through. And people had pre-ordered them. I had done a pre-order. So they were already waiting. So then I had to go to another place.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I remember that, too.
Remember that shit? Wild, and I was so fucking mad, dude. Yep. And then, you know, I'm not going to send them out. Like, people paid $55 for a fucking hoodie. I'm not going to send it out if it looks like shit.
Dude, 100%.
I'm just not. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not some fucking, like, 2 million follower SoundCloud rapper that could just say fuck it and not care about it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, I need people to like the product. So then I had to go to another place. They printed it. It ended up costing me like $7 or $8 extra per unit.
Oh, wow.
So I just ended up completely, dude, it was, by the time it was all said and done and everything was shipped, I don't think I broke even.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I think it was just like barely a wash.
Yeah.
For all this work, but that might be a wash, but a bunch of those people have bought shit since then.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It would have been a wash if you sent out a bunch of janky sweatshirts, cause people would have been like, this ain't it. It's like the whole, making $2 an hour, $200 in a week. You know what I'm saying? It's like the whole,
that is the name of the fucking game with this too.
Right.
like the as with the you know trying to build a customer base, especially like you're an apparel brand, I'm an apparel brand, like or I have an apparel component to my business, like people need chicken and milk.
Right. Oh yeah,
They don't need a new fucking hat. They don't need a new fucking t-shirt. Yep. So like you got to keep them happy. Mm-hmm. Well, sick, bro. I think this went well.
Yeah, I'm super stoked on it. It's very casual.
Hell yeah. Give out, do you have anything coming? Like, do you have any drops coming up that you want to talk about? This will probably drop up today's, it'll be Friday. So do you have anything coming up?
I don't have anything planned, but keep an eye out. Okay. And then in the next like 2 to 3 weeks, I will definitely have some new drops. I won't speak on exactly what it's going to be yet, but it's definitely going to be sick. At Barbell Bills on Instagram, and check out at 27 Stitches Embroidery. That's my actual embroidery service. That is under construction right now, but we're making progress on it every day. So, like I said, please reach out, DM, email, barbellbillsllc@gmail.com. And we'll get connected and make something happen. So I appreciate it.
Hell yeah. If people want if they want work, they can just shoot you a DM. Yeah, if they want some work.
For sure. I can work up a price and work up, you know, off of whatever garment and, you know, stitching you want to have done. And like I said, I'm at a point now where I'll be 100% honest with you if it's something I can or cannot do. Because like I said, I'm not interested in putting out lower quality work. So like I said, very open on that piece of it. So please don't hesitate. But yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, yeah, make sure you follow B. And then my personal page is AnthonyCW13, trigger_warning_conjugate. And then the gym page, Anchor Athletics NH. Dude, we got the sponsorship going on for the fucking meet in May is wild. We haven't fucking announced any of the shit yet, but like we have some cool ass sponsors and some really cool prizes and like a couple of names that like you haven't seen on our sponsor board yet that are kind of big names we're really excited about. So
hell yeah.
Yeah, dude. So awesome. I gotta tell you some shit when we're off air. I'm really excited about it. Cool. Thanks for listening. We don't have a cool outro yet. We're gonna figure it out, but thank you for checking out Barbell Ambition Mixtapes Volume 1. And we will talk to you in a couple
weeks. Appreciate you guys.
Hell yeah.